Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Sanhedrin. Lamed Dalad, we begin 10 lines off the top. Dinei Nefashis, Hamalamed Bechulu. In the Mishnah we learn, by Dinei Nefashis, one who has espoused a negative opinion, a guilty opinion, right, towards the fellow on trial, he's Malamed Echaiva, then he can turn around, I mean Malamed Zuchus, he can switch tracks and defend him. We're speaking about the judge, Dayana. But once he presented a positive position, he was Malamed Zuchus, he's stuck there. He can't switch tracks, he can't reverse his opinion. Amar Rav says, Rav, that's only while deliberations are taking place. But of course, if he changes opinion, he can express it at the time of the vote, take. Of course. Amar Rav Leishono El B'Shas Masu Matan. During deliberations, we want him to stick to his position. We want to try to push him in that direction. Once you've taken the positive route to defend him, to be Olam Etzchus, try to stick to it. So although you're questioning yourself, but you know what? Stick it out, maybe you'll be successful. So we don't want to allow him an early backtrack. Aval B'Shas Kamar did, but of course when we're holding by the final stage of the process, by Gmar Din, of course, you have to express your genuine opinion. Malamed Zuchus, even though initially he was Malamed Zuchus, Chayzer, Malamed Chayb, of course he can switch his opinion and vote against him. Meisvei, here comes Akash. The Mishnah speaks about the Dayonim deliberating, doing a Masa Matan, and they sleep over it, right, overnight, so this way they'll get a real, healthy chunk of time to delve into it, to analyze it, to hopefully come up with some clarity. So Lamachos, the next morning, Mashkimen, Aboyin, next day they get up and they come back to the Bezin, reconvene, Hamazak, Oimer, the Dayan who proposed Zuchus yesterday, Oimer, he gets up and says, Ani Hamazak, I'm the one who, defended him, Umazak, Ani Bim Koimi, I stick to my position, I'm going to vote for him, Hamachayv, Oimer, the one who actually considered him guilty yesterday, he'll say, well, Ani Hamachayv, Machayv, Ani Bim Koimi, well, I stick to my guns as well, I'm still being Machayv him. And Mishnah continues, Ham Lamed Chayv, Lamed Zchus. If one espoused Chayv yesterday, he can turn into Zchus today. Aval Ham Lamed Zchus, but a Dayan who defended him, who was Lamed Zchus, Eini Yachol Lachzer, Ulelamed Chayv, he can't switch tracks and go against him. Asks the Gemara, well, now we're holding at the final stage. Deliberations are over. They're behind us. Volo Machras. But the next day, Gemara Dinu was speaking about wrapping it up. According to you, Rav, anybody could say anything at that point. Asks the Gemara Letamech, according to you, Lamachros, you mean the next day, Maso Matame, like there's no deliberation at all? They get together, right? They rehash things, and ultimately they come to conclusion. Kiktani, you're right, when the Mishnah speaks about the Melamed Zuchus sticking to his guns, Mishas Maso Matam was speaking during Maso Matam, but of course, once you're past that point, you're about to take that final vote, then of course everybody expresses his genuine position. Toshma is another riot. The Mishnah here is speaking where the Dayanim, the Bezin was sort of at a stalemate. Okay, it was some sort of deadlock Bezin. So what's the way out? And we're speaking that they've already added, they're up to 71 Dayanim, there's no nothing to add anymore. So they got to come to some sort of arrangement. Donin, Toshma, Donin, Elu, Keneged Elu, so they rehash things and debate one against the other until, somebody's convinced to switch his position. Achi Yireh Echad Ben HaMachayvin, until we hope that one of the Dayanim who considered him guilty will now reverse position and he will accept Divrei HaMazak and those who favor. It sounds from the Mishnah that this is the only solution to go from Chayev to Zuchus. And we're speaking at Gmar Din. Why? Vimisa, according to you, Rav, during Gmar Din, anybody can switch to anything. Listen, Nami Ifcha, the Mishnah should have also mentioned the other option. Perhaps the Dayan with a guilty position would go innocent. But a dayan who is presenting innocent perhaps could now switch to guilty. Right? We can go either way because it's Gemara Din. Listen, Nami Yifch, you're right. Technically it could be, but the Mishnah there is hoping for the best. Tana Aschuska Mahadar. The Tana is looking for Zachus, and therefore he presents it this way, Achayva like a Mahadar, rather than looking for Achayva. So it's sort of an optimistic description of events, but of course technically you can go either way. Tashma. Here comes another Raya against Rav, who says that during Gemara Din there are no restrictions, anybody can say anything. So one of the junior members of the Talmidim there, Shazika Omeis, who presented Zechus, defended the party, Omeis, and then he died before Gemara Din. Can we count him into the vote? Yeah. You consider him as though he's alive, standing right there, and we count him in. And we add him to the Dayanim who are saying Zakai. Vamai, why? According to Rav, anybody can change their mind during the final moments, during Gemara Din. So maybe this Talmud would have reversed his position during Gemara Din. How do you know that he would still be holding Zakai? Neymar, we should say, Yilu Avakayim, if he would hear, maybe he switched his track. If he would have been there, he would have reversed. He would have gone from Zechus to Chayva. Apparently you can't, even during Gemara Din. Well, says the Gemara, no, there's no contradiction here. Rav Yisrael Chanina could be fully compatible with Rav, that anybody can switch at the time of Gemara Din. Hashtamil, Lehadabe, but the end of the day is. And the bottom line is, he didn't really. Until he died, he didn't switch anything. We have no reason to believe that he switched his position. There's a chazak that he would have maintained his position. And it's fair to count him in on the positive side. Asks the Gemara, how could you say that this statement of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina is compatible with Rav Asholchum Utam? They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. That you should know, L'diver Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina's opinion, that a Talmud who is Mezaka and then died is considered a Mezaka, even at this point, Moitzi Mechlal Rabbeinu. It's inconsistent with Rav. It's in dispute with Rav, who says that during Gemara Din anybody can say anything. Apparently, it doesn't really jive. No, says the Gemara, actually, we have the wrong version of the message. Ein moitzi itzmar. Actually, the message was, there's no inconsistency between Rav and Rav Chanina. Because even Rav Chanina holds, like Rav, that during Gemara Din you can switch to Chayva. But the Talmud didn't do that. He died before he had a chance to reverse position. So we assume he would have stuck to his position. And we count him in amongst the Dayanim who find the party innocent. Toshma, another raya from a Mishnah against Rav. Shnei Sefer Dayanim. So these two court scribes, Eindum Lefnein, they're positioned in front of the judges. Echad Menah Yamin, Echad Menah Smol, one on the right, one on the left. V'kois v'ndivrei ha-mezakin, v'ndivrei ha-mechayim. And they record, they transcribe the positions of the mezakin and their reasons and their explanations, the basis for their opinions, and likewise the position of the mechayvim. Now let's analyze the Mishnah. Mishnah Medibra Mechayv. I understand why the Seferim have to go and write the legal reasonings of the mechayvim. You know why? Because let's say it turns out that we have a problem. We're deadlocked, and we have to, if it turns out that it's going against the litigant, it's Roiv is Chayev, right? So we have to, Dina Nefashis, we have to, let it stay overnight, like we said before. So there's a concern that L'machar Chazut HaMachrina, perhaps the Dayan will now come up with a new reason to find him guilty. So yesterday I found him guilty because of reason one, and today, I have another reason. And you know what happens then? You have to give it another night to allow for more analyzation of the new reason. Interesting system, right? We give more and more time. V'bo'lo ma'avad halona astin. Halona means to sleep over, to leave it overnight. So that's why we need to record it, so that we know exactly what he had in mind yesterday, and we find out today if it's a new reason, we have to give the dayan an extra night to think it over. That's why the sefer have to write, have to record the proceedings in such great detail. Ella, divrei hamazaka. That explains why they record the machayvin, just in case it comes up with a new reason, you have to give them more time to analyze it. But divrei hamazaka, those who are defending, are finding the litigant innocent. What's the purpose of writing their reasons? My time, just record their names. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, they're the ones who said Zakai. And this way you know they can't reverse during deliberations, right? Like we said before, and that's it. You don't have to give their whole background. Oh, la mishum dichaz v'tayim ha'achrin l'chayba lo'y ma'ashichinim bo. Apparently the reason is because we're not going to accept the reversal, even during Gemar Din. And the reason why we record their positions and their arguments and their everything is because they shouldn't have any excuse to switch their positions. They might say that, well, it was a gross oversight. We missed a pasuk, and we learned yesterday that if it's a straight pasuk, you can always switch positions. So that's why we have to record their reasonings and their basis and their legal arguments, that we know exactly where they were coming from. They can't come and claim, well, it was based on an oversight. So it would seem from this Mishnah, not like Rav, that a mezaka cannot turn into chayiv, even during Gemara Din. No, he says Gemara, no, you can't bring anything from this Mishnah. The reason why we record everything is kadei shelo yoyimru shnayim, in order to avoid a situation where two judges will base their position, tam echad, mishnei mikro, is based on two psukim. So certainly one is making a mistake, because as Rashi says, the Torah would not repeat the same halacha twice. So if Dayan Reuven is saying, well, he's innocent based on this pasuk, and Dayan Shimon is saying, well, he's innocent based on another pasuk, then somebody's making a mistake. That's why we need to record everything to verify exactly what's what. K'devoyimine Rab Asi Rabbi Yechanan, as Rab Asi asked Rabbi Yechanan, Amru Shnaim Tam Echad, Mishnei Mikro Yismah. What happens in this very exact situation where two Dayanim are basing their halacha on two different psukim? Amalei Ein Meinan Lein Ela Echad. Guess what? We only count them in as one dayan, as one position, because one of them is mistaken. Menanimli, how do we know this is true? That you can't bring one din from two sources, from two psukim, arabai, the makro. Achaz, diber lekim, shnaim zu shamati, ke'ozi lekim. So Hashem can say one pasuk, which will teach us two halachas, many halachas. Mikra echad, yoytze lecham v'tamim, one pasuk, can have many applications, but not the other way around. Vein tam echad, yoytze mekam v'kroiz, but you can't have one din being sourced from different psukim. The Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in his base medrash, they learned from a different pasuk. Kafata shifayset zela. The Torah compares. It's comparable to a hammer, smashing stones. Ma patish zem is chalik. Just like when the hammer knocks the stone splits into many smithereens. Become an etzoytzeis. Af mikra echad yoytzel kam a time in one pasuk has many applications. Echadomi tamecha mishne mikra. Let's have an example, where you'll have one halacha based on two separate psukim. Omer Ozvid Kedisnan, as we find in the Mishnah Maseches Sevachim. Be'ach Mekadesh is a royal light. So even things, even karbonis, which became puzzle, the blood got spilled out, or the Kohen had the wrong thoughts while he, tended to the carbon. So once the carbon goes onto the Mizbeach, once the carbon material is brought on the Mizbeach, even though it wasn't supposed to be brought there, too late. Once it set foot, so to speak, on the Mizbeach, it gets internalized, and it's not going to come down. Mizbeach Mekadesh Eser Roiloi. Rabbi Shoaim Mekol Roiloi Yishim. Any material which is suitable to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Once it's burnt on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down. Shnemar Ha'ilal Moikdo. Moikdo means the fire. Ma'ilo Shiroiloi Yishim. Just like the oil which was initially meant for the fire. Im also Leteris, even though it became possible, once it's burned on the Mizbeach, you no longer take it down. Afkol Shuroi Leishim. Likewise, any carbon which has the same characteristic, which was meant for burning, on the Mizbeach, Im Olo Leyered, even though it became possible, once it's up there, it doesn't come down. So Rabbi Shua specifies fire-related karbanis. Rabbi Loimer, no. Any mizbeach-related carbon, kol haroil mizbeach, anything which is suitable for the mizbeach, im Allah yared, what it's up there, you don't remove it, shenamar hiya oila al mokdal mizbeach. And we learn, ma oila shi ru'ya, legabe mizbeach. Just like the oila, which is roi for the mizbeach, im also leteret, once it's up there, you don't take it down, as we learn from that pasuk, because it says, you leave the mizbeach, the oila on the mizbeach all night, and we learn that even though it became pasuk, you take it down, you don't take it down. So just like the oila doesn't come down, af kol shehu roi mizbech maloyer. Likewise, any other material which is roi from mizbech is mekadesh it, and it stays here. So both Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel, v'tarvayu kamarbu psulim. They're both allowing psulim to stay on mizbech, right? So what's the machlekes? No machlekes. At this point, the Gemara focuses no practical machlekes. It's just a question of source. Which source to go to? Mar ma'isi lemimakda. Rabbi Shua looks at Magda as the source. From Lil at the word Mizbeach. There you go. So you have same halacha from two sources. What do you mean? This is a very big machlekes. A very practical manifestation to this machlekes. The Tani Sefer. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Ein bein divrei. Rabbi Gamliel to Rabbi Shua. What is the difference between these two opinions? Elam, there are some materials which are okay according to Rabbi Gamliel, because they're mizbech-related materials, but not fire-related materials, and therefore they don't qualify according to Rabbi Yeshua. El ha-dam v'nasach, and blood, and the wine, or whatever that's part of the mizbech carbon arrangement, it came out of the mizbech. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's okay, because it's mizbech-related materials. Sh'rab and Gamliel, lo'im lo yeridu, you don't take it off. Rabbi Yeshua, lo'im lo yeridu, you have to take it off, because it's not fire-related. So, it's not just a question of sourcing, it's a question of practical application. Ella Omer HaPapa, so this is not really an example of same halacha from two psukim. Rather, I'll give you another example. This on you. Rabbi Yitzchak Levi Oimer, Mitoch Shenemar. So this is on a similar track. We're speaking about materials which are going to stay on the Mizbeach. So going to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi. We start with a pasuk. Kol Hanagei Mizbeach Yikdash, anything that comes into contact, even a puzzle material on the Mizbeach, stays there. Shemiani, so perhaps I would include Bein Roy, or Bein Shein Roy, whether the carbon that touched the Mizbeach was suitable at any given point, or Bein Shein Roy, whether it was not suitable at all, it stays there. No, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, it says, Vizeh Shetaz Mizbeach, Kvasim. That's the next part of that Pasuk. Kvasim, animals. Ma Kvasim Ru'uyin, just like sheep are suitable initially for the Mizbeach. Av Kol Roy, likewise, anything that was suitable and then became puzzle. So it had a certain point in its existence where it was kosher, even though it became pasul later, once it's taken on his bech, it stays here. We learn from the word oila, which is also a word in that pasuk. Ma'ila ru'uya afkal roy. Likewise, the oila which was roy at a certain point, which was suitable, even though it became pasul, you still keep it there. Afkal roy. Likewise, it extends to any carbon which had suitability. It became pasul and disqualified. Once you brought it on the mizbech, not supposed to, once you brought it, you keep it there. Now both shittas here are excluding those items which had been unsuitable from the get-go, from the start. Meaning, Rashi explains this over and over, there needs to be a sha'as ha-kosher. The carbon, the material, had to have potential at any given point. Right? Had to start off being something which is suitable for a carbon, which became possible later on during the process. Right? As opposed to things which were never suitable to begin with. So they're both bimemayit, they're excluding these types of items. It's just a question of source. Right? So one sheet learns it from mar maisi lemi kvasim, he learns it from kvasim, that have to be roi to begin with, umar maisi lemi oila, the other sheet learns it from oila. But basically they're both pointing in the same direction. You want to allow a puzzle to stay on the mizbeach, provided, right? It could be done provided it was good initially. Okay, here we go. Here's an example of learning the same halacha from two different psukim. No, says the Gemara, there is a big nafkamina in practicality as well, because the source affects the application. It affects the extent of the allowance. Vamar v'adabra'av, oyla so'if p'suli k'benai. You know what the difference between two shittas is? Oyla bird. Right? Until it became possible. And then it was brought on the Mizbeach. So according to Mar Manda Maislamik Vasim, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, who bases on kvasim, kvasim in, only animals. Avol oyla sa'ayla fly, but not birds. Uma the maisla me oyla, but according to the second sheet, that's based on oyla. Avol oyla sa'ayla, now it extends even to oyla sa'ayla. So it's not just one halacha and two psukim, two separate halachas, based on different psukim. Elam Ravashi, I'll give you an example of one halacha from two psukim. Kedasanyo. So this is speaking about doing zrikas adam, applying the blood of a carbon brought out of the mizbeach. It's called shchutei chutz, which generates a very severe punishment of kares. So the pasuk regarding shechita of a carbon outside the mikdash says dom yechashiv leishahu, dom shafach, and the result is kares. The extra expression dom shafach is teaching us l'rabbis a zorik to extend it to a zorik of dam carbon outside the mikdash. It generates kares. Not only shechita of the carbon, even the zrika. Tivi, Rabbi Shmuel, that's his opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, we have a different pasuk for this, which speaks about a person who actually is makrev, burns the carbon outside the mizbeah, outside the Beis HaMikdash. And we have the words oizevach there. The word oizevach, the rabbi says hazoirek, is covering even zrika, which is chayiv karis. V'tarvayu, now both of these opinions, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, komar b'zrika, they're covering zrika, including that in karis. It's just a question of sourcing. Mar ma'isi lo, dam yichoshev, mar ma'isi lo, min oizevach, he's coming from this post, he's coming from that. There you go. That's an example of this type of concept. No, says Gemara, there's a big difference in halacha as well. V'amar revo, shachar v'zorak yikub b'nayu. Difference is, let's say, one, does shechita of a carbon outside the mikdash and also zrika. Let's say he does a b'shoigig, inadvertently. One chatas or two chatois. So according to the Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the chiyuv of zrika of kachem b'chutz is learned from the same pasuk of shechitas kachem b'chutz in the chayv alachas. So when he does both shechita and zrika, it only generates one liability because it's based on the same pasuk, which only has one kares reference. But Ladiv Rebbe Kiva, who says that zrika's kachem b'chutz is learned from a different pasuk of mala is where he brings it on the mizbeach. So chayv shtayim. So when he does shechita and zrika, it generates two liabilities because there's two separate psukim, two separate kares references. One is because of the kares of shechita, which is one pasuk, and the second one is because of the zrika, which is by the pasuk of malakach, two chiyuvim, two chatos. So it's not just, you know, same exact halacha from two sources. Big difference. Says the Gemara, no, but we have explained on this topic. Amar Abaye explained that actually there's no difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva regarding the number of liabilities. Af hodive Rabbi Kiva nami enechayiv ala achas. You should know, even according to Rabbi Kiva, doing shechita and zrika only generates one curse. And the reason is because the Amar Kra Sham Tala oylesecha v'sham tase, the pasuk sort of bundles together anything involved in the carbon outside the mikdash. Irvinu rachmona l'kule asir, Torah's sort of bundling it all together, all the processes involved in the carbon outside the mikdash. It's one curse, one warning. So if it's one warning, so you can't generate two separate liabilities. So basically, according to Abaye's explanation, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva will hold that when he does shechita and zrika, it's only one liability. So bottom line is there's no difference in halacha between the shittos. Rather, here we found our address of the same halacha, forbidding zrika outside the mikdash on a carbon, learned from two different psukim. Right? So that's what we were looking for. Dinei mamonos donan b'yayim. So when it comes to dinei mamonos, you start during daytime and they conclude the process at night. You could, at night. As opposed to dinei nefashos, it's all a daytime affair. You start and end by day. You can't finish today, finish tomorrow. Manan Amili, how do we know that by dinei mamonos they're allowed to conclude during nighttime? Amar b'chia bar papa, v'shavtos em mechaleis. This was by Yisroi, right? When they established the dayanim, they can litigate any time, even during nighttime. Yochet chilos dinami. Is that so? Then even start at night. Says the Gemara, no, could the Rav, as Rav explained, the Rav Rami had an apparent contradiction between the Pesukim. One pasuk says, Shavtos am achaleis, any time is legal. Ksiv v'hayi b'yayim, or ksiv v'yayim v'yayim achilos banav. Pasuk in the Varm speaks about that the inheritance litigations only take place, which is a form of Dinei Mamonos, of course, only takes place during daytime, v'hayi b'yayim. So which one is it, day or night? Okay, so the answer is like this. V'yayim l'tchilas, then we have to start the process by day. as Tosis explains, because that's the Iker. Lailul Mardin. We want to conclude and issue the verdict that can be done even at night. So that explains the two pesukim. Says the Gemara Masnisn. But our Mishnah, which allows Dina Mamanis at night, the Loik Rab Meir is not going like Rab Meir, who doesn't allow it. The Sanya, Rab Meir Oimer, Mata, Malayma, why is the Pasuk? And speaking about the Kehanim being involved in leading Kal Yisrael and showing the way, Al PM Yekal Ribichal Nega, they'll dictate regarding litigations, regarding Negaim. What's the connection between litigations and Eitzaras? V'chema inyan rivim, Eitzel negoyim, what does Dini Mamonos have to do with nega? Elo makash rivim negoyim, we have to connect the two and learn one from the other. Ma negoyim b'yoyim, just like by a nega, it has to be examined by the kohen during daytime. Tachsevo b'yoyim heirois, but it has to be during daytime. And he has to have full eyesight to do that. Af rivim b'yoyim, likewise, Dini Mamonos are strictly daytime affairs. So clearly, he disagrees with the Tal Mishnah, which allows the conclusion of Dine Mamanis at night. Furthermore, Uma Negoyim Shloi Beisumin, just like by a Nega, it can't be accomplished by a Kohen who's blind. The Sivil Chol Marein a Kohen has to have full eyesight, even one blind eye is a problem. Af Ribim Shloi Beisumin, likewise, Dine Mamanis need to have Dayanim who are not blind. They could see, they could feel what's going on. Okay, and now we go the other way. Umakish negoyim l'rivim, and likewise we connect nega to rivim. We learn from there. Ma rivim shloi b'dine shloi b'krib. Just like dine mamonos can only be done by dayanim who are not relatives, right? Af negoyim shloi b'kribim. Likewise, a kohen who wants to see a nega must be a non-relative. Asks the Gemara for connecting rivim to negoyim. Let's go all the way in terms of the number of dayanim. Ima rivim b'shleisha, just like dine mamonos requires three dayanim. Af negoyim b'shleisha, you need three kohanim to deal with a nega. Bedinu from a kavuchaymer. Mamoyne b'shleisha, dealing with a person's money, which is secondary to him, needs three dayanim, a full-fledged formal convention. Gufa l'koshkin, certainly you would think if it involves his actual body, like his nega, you need three dayanim. Tamaloymar uhuvel arna kohen la'achad. Pasuk clearly allows even one kohen. Lamata we learn from echad shafil kohen echad. Whereas a negoyim, even one kohen is authorized to examine a nega. So clearly, according to Rameir, any aspect of a din Torah, even din Mamonos, must take place during the day, unlike our Mishnah, which allows the conclusion at night. So how do we paskin? How was Sambi? It was a story regarding a blind man who was blind in one eye only. Dava b'shiva busei, Rabbi Yechonon was a neighbor of Rabbi Yechonon. Dava doin dina, he was involved in din Mamonos. But le'amalei Rabbi Yechonon le'midi. Rabbi Yechonon had no problem with it. He didn't respond. He didn't object. He didn't oppose to this neighbor litigating dine mamonos. How could Rabbi Yechonon allow it? Rabbi Yechonon holds that whenever you have a Mishnah, which was left anonymous by Rabbi HaKadosh, that was meant to indicate that that's the accepted halacha. And with Tanan we have a Mishnah, Maseches Nida, which indicates that he's possible. If he's blind in one eye, kala kasha, lodon kasha lo'oid, a fellow who can judge a case, can testify, right? We're sort of looking for like formulas. This works with this, this works with that, a whole collection of different types of formulas. So a person who's kasha for din is kasha for edus. But you can have a person, a person could be suitable for giving testimony but not to be a judge. He explained what's the case. A person's blind with one eye. He can say edus because technically he can see, but he can't be a dayan. So it was the Stam Mishnah disqualifying this neighbor. So why didn't he oppose? Rabbi Yechon stomach rina ashkech. The answer is Rabbi Yechon found another Stam Mishnah, which he preferred. We'll see why in a minute. Which says, Dine Mamonos, Donan Bayayim, Vigarim Balayla, our Mishnah. Which allows concluding a Dine Mamonos even at night. We assume, even a blind man, because it's all about not seeing, right? So, yeah, so apparently, we're not going like Rav Meir, and even a Summa is kosher for, even a blind man is kosher for Dayanus. Rashi says, nighttime is like a Summa, things aren't really clear, aren't really bright, so if that's allowed, then this is allowed. And that's why he didn't object to his neighbor's Dayanus. Asks the Gemara, why do we prefer our Mishnah in Sanhedrin over the Mishnah Nida, which says, that's not allowed. My Umma, the high Stoma, my Stoma, why is this Stoma better than the other Stoma? Two Terutzim, Iba Yisema, one Pshat, the Stoma, the Rabbim Adav. Because basically you have a known machlekes. Rameir says it's not allowed. Chacham say it is. And we have a Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin going like the Chacham. We prefer that. It's a Stam of the Rabbim. It's a Stam Mishnah which follows the majority rule, which is a majority opinion. And we accept that Stam as the final psak. Another pshat. You realize the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is on topic. It's within the context of a Sanhedrin discussion. That's the topic of Al Masechta. So that seems to be more sort of reliable than the Mishnah Masechta Snita, which is not really within a Sanhedrin discussion. It's just agav. It's on account of other formulas discussed there. So that could be sort of not as reliable, not as etched in stone as our Mishnah. Because it's not really the focal point of that sugya. Ask the Gemara. Okay, Rav Meir. Now let's go back to Rav Meir, who says a din must take place strictly by day. Hai v'shafto so b'chaleis. That pasuk which says any time is okay. My avodah, what does it do with the pasuk? My darish be. Amar Rav l'asuya m'unan. One exception is learned from the pasuk: a cloudy day, even though it's not suitable for inspecting a nega. It's not a clear, bright, sunny day. It's not good for that. It's not enyuenus and negaim l'bishachrus. Not meant to inspect a nega in the morning, ben abayim in the evening, is not inside the house, or a cloudy day, because you can be thrown off by the unbalanced lighting situation. Baheres, meaning a bright nega, nearest asa, because a nega which is really soft white and not really a problem. Nearest Aza, when it's dark, it looks like it's bright. Looks too bright. Unnaturally bright. So, morning, evening, when things aren't so bright, or inside a house, or cloudy day, you're not meant to look at a nega. It could throw you off and mislead you. V'loi b'tzoraim, nor during midday when it's very bright. Neshe Aza nearest Keo, because there has the opposite effect. Something really bright, a nega, which is really a bright white nega, will look dull and throw you off. So clearly in the Mishnah, we see it has to be a properly lighted time. Right? Yom Ma'unan, a cloudy day, is not suitable. Still, Ramirez says, That's by Nega, when you need a really clear, sharp vision, but by the Dinei Torah, as long as it's daytime, it works. V'shavtos ambachalitz. Ramirez, hai b'yom anchilas bonam me'avadle. Now, according to Ramirez, who has the other pasuk, the hekesh between Nega to Riv, why does he need the pasuk of a b'yom anchilas bonav to tell you that the dinter has to start by day? He already has a pasuk for that. When we boil it, that's coming for something else entirely different. Ketani Rabbi Rachanina came in front of the Rav Nachman. V'hoi yibim achilas bonav was teaching us b'yem atamapel. Nachles, during daytime, a person can inherit his estate to his kids. V'yatamapel nachles b'layla. He can't do that at night. Asks the Gemara, literally? You mean if a person dies at night, his kids don't inherit him? Amar le'el ma'at, if that's the case, mandashacha b'yimam yirsun le'bonav, dies by day, his kids get his Yerusha, but he dies at night, it doesn't happen. Perhaps the Brisa meant to say that if a person gave his instructions, he should a will. So during daytime, it's like a psak din. But at nighttime, it's not. What does that mean? The sign, as we learned in the Brisa. So the pasuk there concludes the discussion about Yerusha. And it's wrapped up like a chukas mishpat, like a case in court. What does that mean? Oira. So we just concluded, kol ha'parasha kula liyaz din. The pasuk concludes with a reference to Yerusha having the status of a din. What does that mean? K'rabi damarav. Damarabi damarav. Shloisha shenichnus levakar sachoyl. You have three individuals who are coming to visit a deathly ill person. And the person turned to them and says, here's my will. And he verbally gives instructions. Can they record it? Can they serve as judges? Yeah. Rotsu Koisvin, Rotsu Isindin, if they want, they can put it on paper to testify that they heard this from him, and then the Yerushim will take the paper to the Bezdin, right? On the other hand, they can act as judges themselves, the three people. They witnessed the scene themselves, Rotsu Isindin. They could actually execute the will on the spot. Or later, whatever, based on what they saw, because it was daytime. And Dayanim, right, there are three of them, they have the status of Dayanim, who witnessed an event during daytime, has the status of a court case. But if it's only Shnayim, two individuals, they cannot be considered judges, because it's not a full count. Bezdin, it's only two. Kaisin, Venesindin, they can record what they heard as testimony, but not to actually execute it as Dayanim. Vom Rav Chisda, here's the punchline. Lo Yishon El Biyayim, that's only because they came to visit by day, which is a time which is suitable for dinei mamonis. They can be treated as dayanim. Aval balayla, if they came during nighttime, at most they could be is edim. They can testify, but they can't serve as judges. Kaisman, they can write it and record it. Ve'noisinu, but they cannot actually execute it as edin. Mishum dahavalu edim, because they're at most witnesses. Ve'noisadayin, and a witness cannot turn into a judge. Amalei enochi kaminas or Rabba Brachanina told Rav Nachman exactly what I meant when I said that the pasuk v'mechiglus banim is telling you it only happens during daytime. I meant to say that the status of din relating to nachla only works when it happened by day, which is a time for dinei Torah. So basically, Rav Meir, even though he had another source, that dinei mamonos have to be by day, he learned from Nega, he needs this pasuk as well, of v'yohi b'yom achilos banav, to teach us this halach, that a visitor, a bakir chayla, who came at night, cannot the next morning serve as a judge, because once he was established as an aide, he can switch his cap and turn into a judge. Okay, I'll stick to this here, and we'll pick it up tomorrow, Be'ezan Hashem. Okay, so in summation, we learned about Badin and Nefashis, switching tracks, going from Chayva to Schus, and Schus to Chayva. Schus to Chayva, according to Rav, could happen at the Gemara Din, but not before that. Learned about, Halacha learned from Tupsukim, which the Gemara explained is the reason why the Seferim have to record everything so that the the count is a proper count. We don't have two Dayanim coming from two different Psukim to teach us the same Halacha, which obviously is erroneous. Then we have the question of daytime versus nighttime. Dinei Nefashis is completely by day. Dinei Mamonos, going to Rav Meir, also by day, going to the Chachamim, which is the Stam Mishnah, that's how we paskin, has to start by day, which is the Iker, and could end even at night. We concluded with the Psukim and the Halacha of the Bakar Chayla. If it's during daytime, they have a status of Dayanim, versus if it's nighttime, they're merely Edim. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.